Thank you guys for tuning in. This is part two of our episode. It's part two of our interview, I should say, with Chloe and Mr. Jackson. Just wanted to again say, this was a great conversation, but we did record this conversation over Skype, so I'm going to apologize again because the sound isn't quite as good as it usually is, but it should be good enough for you to catch the sexy details of their experience. Here we go. This podcast is meant for mature audiences only and contains strong sexual language.
This is the Black and Kinky Lifestyle.
With the bar and the
we're going to talk about our getaways, the more clothing optional, cabin getaway.
That's not how you said it the first time.
Okay, whatever, man. It's in the show notes. So there were, let me just set this up. So there were 9 couples that included the Amours.
Yeah.
2 cabins. There were 4 couples staying in one cabin and then the other couple staying in the main cabin. The Amours were staying in the, let's just say cabin 2. That was the smaller cabin of the two. And you guys were staying in cabin 2, and so were we. And then there was also the swinging yogis that were staying with us in cabin 2 as well. So we've been to this cabin getaway before. This was very different from our first experience, but more so because the crowd was different, and that just changes the vibe. So what I wanted to do was just. How'd you guys, what'd you guys think of your first experience?
We liked it. I think we'd do it again. We liked the cabin getaway. We would do it again. It would be nice to do it in warmer weather. So during the day we could, possibly get out and kind of roam around the woods a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it falls into our wheelhouse of kind of how we. What we like, right? So yeah. Like a slight getaway, you can kind of get to know some of the people there and kind of create your own fun. So, because I think that's one of the things I think that while we like those, or we get to, like I said, we get to create our own fun, and we aren't like forced into like a room or a or an environment that we might not want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
We can always find our own little corner or little room or whatever, and like a getaway or, even a hotel takeover. You go back to our room or a resort. Mm-hmm. You kind of, have your own experience within an experience. So I think it's definitely something we'd look at again.
Yeah.
And what did you think about the cabins themselves?
Oh, I liked our cabin. I loved the little the little loft area.
They have upstairs loft area.
If that had been one bed instead of two, we totally would have taken it.
No, we wouldn't.
No, he says we wouldn't have taken it because there's no door, so there was no quiet. But
yes.
I thought it was adorable. I really liked our cabin. I liked the fireplaces. It was cozy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean they were super nice. Clean, well-kept cabins, a lot of natural light.
Oh, the lighting was beautiful.
Just, and enough space to kind of like, let all the couples kind of, find their own space and not like, we're not on top of each other, sitting areas or anything like that. Like you could literally have 3 or 4 conversations in them going with a lot of people and it not feel like you were yelling over each other too. So
yeah,
and ours actually had a downstairs common area that you guys kept to yourselves. There was a foosball table down there.
Not keep it to ourselves.
There was air.
You're welcome to come down there anytime you wanted.
Yeah, okay. But you could tell us what was down there.
Oh, that's true.
You like?
We had porn playing down there and everything, man.
There was porn.
Oh yeah, that's 70s.
We didn't have a TV upstairs.
No, there was no TV upstairs. That was the porn. That was the porn area.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we had some.
Have a TV.
Yeah, interracial anal porn.
Nice. Yeah.
Yes, it was awesome. You also, you guys also went to the bathhouse. How was that experience?
The bathhouse, I really enjoyed it. I just wish it wasn't so early. And I know you last time you guys went a little later in the day. So going at 9:30 a.m. after drinking the night before and getting lost in the living room. it was waking up that early. That was kind of rough, but the bathhouse was lovely. It was really relaxing. Afterwards, I wanted to come home and take a nap.
Bathhouse was good.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good experience. And then we got to just kind of walk through the town a little bit and get some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's interesting you bring up the timing of the bathhouse, because the last time we went, you're right, we did go later in the day, and it was convenient for those of us who aren't early risers. But one thing I realized later on, and I spoke to Miss Amor about this, is that actually ended up being somewhat of a benefit, because it's something that you can get out of the way quickly during the day. It's a good experience. Great to start the day, and it also gets everybody on the same page. And, you know, you can come home after that relaxation. You come back to the cabin. We had our breakfast, and then folks went to a lot of folks took a nap after that.
yes.
And the problem was that last time when folks took a nap, they woke up, and there was no time to do anything but go to dinner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And once people got back from dinner, it was like everybody was ready. Everybody was kind of calling it a night at that point.
I
guess that was just
not
me.
Not what happened.
Yeah.
the problem was it was late. Like, we get back from dinner, and since we went to dinner later, like around 7:30,
yeah,
something like that, it was, you know, what, 9:30, 10 o'clock when we got back?
Mm-hmm.
And then because people had to leave, and some people had to leave early the next day, it was like, play now. And it was like, as soon as we got back to the cabin after dinner. And so there was no
icebreaker.
There was no icebreaker. There was no transition. There was just like folks getting naked.
Yeah, somebody started eating somebody else out. Yeah. And it was like, all right, I guess we need to get it in now.
Right.
Yeah, see, I think the same thing would have happened if it would have been later in the day. So I think it, like you said, it's, The best part about it gets everybody on the same schedule and up and moving.
Yeah.
Because without it, you have some people who probably would have skipped breakfast if people would have got up to cook it, or just came out by like 11:30 or something like that.
Yeah.
And
yep.
it just kills the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to take another 2 hours to get everybody on the same page. Like, hey, we have this or whatever. So just having something in the morning, that set is the best. Cause I think even looking at, I mean, I know you haven't asked it yet, but just if we're talking about something that I would have changed, it's hard to change on like on a everyday weekend, but if it's a long weekend, just mm-hmm. having everyone like kind of get there on Saturday early, and then it gets everybody on the same page. Cause getting there Friday, you know, some people might have gotten there at 6 or 5, and then because of work or traffic, other people are getting there at 9:30, and it just feels like that's those staggered entrances just kind of make the mm-hmm. night feel a little rushed.
Yeah.
So
definitely. Yeah, because we definitely got there on the later end, and
yeah, we were the last.
Yeah, it felt really awkward coming in.
No, that's how you make a grand entrance, though.
Yeah.
No, I did not like that.
So speaking of which, all right. So it began with the double icebreaker. I say double icebreaker because we tried my thing and we played Never Have I Ever.
It's Never Have I Ever musical chairs.
Right.
You ain't sneaky.
the guys just sort of sat there with their partners on their laps. And so we'd ask a never have I ever question. And, you know, whoever has actually done that thing, they were all lifestyle related, and whoever did that thing would have to get up and move to another lap, going clockwise, I guess, counterclockwise.
Just finding a new lap, basically.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. And every time somebody had to move, you know, one person would be selected to tell the story of what they did. So I think one of the never have I evers was, have you ever had an MFM threesome? And and it was interesting to see some of the couples where people would just forget they did that, and you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The guy was like, yeah. Did you
we had one of those moments.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He was like, no, remember we did it twice that night? And I was like, oh yeah, we did it twice that night.
No, we had another one too, because you said that you had never been in an orgy.
I needed clarification on what an orgy was.
can you just share that again, what your question was? Because I thought it was really interesting.
Because I wasn't the only person that had clarification issues. The question was, have you ever participated in an orgy? And first of all, I wanted to know how many people constituted an orgy, and if you had to touch all people in said orgy. Because if you do have to touch all people in the orgy, then no, we have not been in an orgy. But if it just constitutes a bunch of people in the same room fucking at the same time, then yes, we've been in an orgy.
No, but you touched other people. So what are you talking about?
But not all the people.
But not all the people.
But not all the people.
Okay, but you don't have to touch all the people.
That was my question.
No, that wasn't your question. Your question was, do I need to touch someone else?
No, that was not my question. Obviously, okay, right. I know. I wanted to know, if there are 8 people in the room, do I have to have touched all 8 people for it to be an orgy? No. Okay, all right, cool. I don't know.
But touching other people who are touching other people
okay.
Constitutes as an orgy.
This is a very valid question.
Actually, it really is, now that I'm thinking about it, because I just said, hey, man, if there are more than...
Okay.
There are 4 more people in the room having sex. There you go. The dictionary defines an orgy as a wild party, especially one involving excessive drinking and unrestrained sexual activity. That's a very clear definition.
No.
That's an orgy.
If that's the case, then most college students have been in orgies.
Right.
So I think we could all answer yes to that question.
Whores.
It sounds like y'all are trying to get around having been in an orgy, and I don't understand it.
No, I'm not. I just wanted to be very clear about what an orgy was.
Okay, so...
So, yes.
Today, words mean things, okay? Got
yep.
It. Words always mean things.
Except when you're trying to get out of a point, but okay.
All right, okay. All right, so... I'm sorry, I was looking up the definition. The dictionary ain't helping. All right, so let's talk about, so the Never Have I Ever game, and then after that, we kind of rolled into the
massage
train. Just taking those two experiences together, what was your experience, one, doing the Never Have I Ever thing? Was that fun? And then talk to us about what your experience was like participating in the massage train.
So the Never Have I Ever was fun because it's always fun to see what people have done, what they remember. And then having them talk about it was probably the best part.
Yeah.
To get to hear people's experiences. I really enjoyed that. And he had a moment where he told me, he was like, when you had to tell your story, you should have seen the way some of the women's eyes lit up. They were like, oh, never thought of it like that before.
Yeah, right.
And
you kind of get an understanding of like what people are actually getting from these experiences, right? Because it's like what they tell and the detail they give in a certain part, but oh, okay, it makes things make sense, whether either if you taught them before or after. At least I felt that does.
It was the DP story.
Yes, it was that story.
Yes. Yeah,
it was when she explained
one of
what
women,
pleasure she found in it. And
right,
like
one of the women asked what the orgasm felt like.
Can you tell our listeners what the orgasm felt like?
It was wonderful. It was everything. If you like anal, you should try one. I don't know how to explain it. I guess when I told the story, I was it was like a continuous orgasm. So I've always wanted to be fucked past my orgasm, because I'm kind of one of those people that after I come, I just like to kick you off of me for a little bit because I'm really, really sensitive. But I've always had this fantasy where I just get fucked until I like almost black out, and because it's just so good. And it was a nice, that was, we got close. We got very close. It was nice.
Very nice. Yes, yes. Now I'm remembering the
wind. Yeah.
It's lighting up and percolating. Yes, that was great. Okay, so that experience was good for you. So what about the massage train? So was that your first massage train?
It was.
Okay.
So and it was a good experience, but very different than I anticipated it.
Yes.
One, we had only heard about it from like you guys talking about it and then like another couple, but it just, I won't say, when you let people draw their own conclusion to things, it doesn't always seem like exactly what it is. Mm. So, but, I mean, just the way like the room, yeah, the room, it's just funny how the way the room figures it out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we've talked about, and just like the vibe of the room helps with everybody working their way through it. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That cloud of uncertainty.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't want to have
the
to say
cloud, it. The cloud of uncertainty.
Mm. Yeah. So,
I didn't want it there.
So I could always edit this out, but I'd like to talk about it here.
Sure.
And then we'll decide whether or not we want to include it. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So please be candid.
It's your turn, baby. Go for
it. I mean, just a cloud of uncertainty because and particularly I think when the more I thought about it, I really thought about like we walked in almost 5 minutes before you guys walked in, right?
I knew that.
Yeah, but the rest of the house had been together since like 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So, and when we walked in, it was already icebreaker time. Like when you guys walked in, it was icebreaker time. So there was no rapport being built between like us, you guys, mm-hmm. and like the rest of the party.
Mm-hmm.
So there was just this, you know, leading into it, there was just this cloud of uncertainty is, you know, I haven't gotten to talk to them. How do they play? Do they only play with people they know? It was just this cloud of uncertainty that kind of was drawing over it, which just the way everyone kind of worked it, how it worked its way out was, it's funny how you put strangers in a room and it just works its way out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I thought it was interesting when, you know, we were talking about it afterwards. Chloe, you were like, no one wanted to massage y'all. And I was like, I don't understand. I was like, what do you mean?
And then when you think about it, nobody came to massage us, which was, and I was like, because, you know, at that point, we had only been there for a short amount of time. We were getting the massages and I was like, I wanted all the hands. I wanted it to get weird. I wanted a massage with lots of hands. I wanted to know what that felt like. And it's not that I was disappointed, but I was like, damn, nobody wants to rub on my legs. Like nobody wants to massage me.
Yeah.
And he pointed out later when we talked about it in the car and he's like, it's that cloud of uncertainty. People don't know if they can touch someone like you. People don't, you know, that's just kind of the way it played out. So
yeah. And they hadn't gotten we hadn't talked to anybody.
Right.
It was just, you know, we walked in and because we got there fairly late, same way you guys did.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the opposite cabin.
Mm-hmm.
So it just like, you know, we just walked in and it was like go time. And but like you don't know anybody, right?
Right.
And we hadn't been drinking much. I'm trying
mm-hmm. to, see, not, now that was your first mistake, but go ahead.
I mean, I also wasn't trying to drive Buzz through the...
through the woods.
Through the road, the yeah, that's right. That was, yeah,
up the mountain in the dark.
Yeah, right, exactly. So that was part of that was it as well. But I mean, but also we hadn't been there. So we hadn't just... you know, had just brief conversations with anybody. It's like, as soon as we came in, we were telling our lifestyle backstory. And then to the icebreakers, and it was just like there just wasn't enough time, I'd say. But
yeah, and I mean, and I think we've, I don't know if we talked about this on the show, but we've talked about a little bit, like, you all are a very attractive couple. And
thank you.
Attractive couples, oh, you're so welcome. Attractive couples, I think for some couples, can be very intimidating, regardless of personality and whether they're super nice and super friendly and all that kind of stuff. But when you see attractive people, you're like, oh, can we approach them? Like, mm-hmm. you know, how are they going to, what are they going to think about us? How are they going to feel about us? Even though it's the lifestyle, like, you know, there's still that fear of rejection. And
nobody,
you know,
wants to
that,
be rejected.
Yeah, that uncertainty. No one wants to be rejected. No one wants to feel bad. Or anything like that, or made to feel like they're, you know, not as attractive or that kind of thing. So, you know, to avoid that, you know, you kind of avoid, you know, a lot of, mm-hmm. I think a lot of couples avoid those situations, and they won't, you know, approach a couple, yeah.
Unless they've been invited somehow, and right. Inviting can happen very subtly. So yeah. So Belle, I'm not sure. I wasn't really paying attention. Did you feel like a lot of people came to massage you outside of our zone?
I don't even know.
No, it was only the yogi couple, the female from the yogi couple. I believe she was there. Ms. Amore and the bomber and the Belle.
Yeah.
We all happen to be staying in the same cabin. That's kind of interesting. We didn't know it at the time.
Right. So it may not have been that. Like, it may not have been the attractiveness thing. It may just have been, you know, the people that were in the cabin together bonded together, and so they wanted to massage each other, you know. But I guess
I'm different, but I remember straying away.
Straying away from who?
Away from y'all.
Oh yeah. Well, you always, yes, you are different. You always.
But also, Chloe was massaging a gentleman that was not part of our little group. I thought I remember seeing that.
I think I did.
Yeah. So no, y'all didn't do nothing wrong, man. People too shy. Yeah, I were really sexy, and they didn't know if they would take it too far. I mean, some folks are just, you know, like I said, fear of rejection. I think the Belle said it right, so I'm not going to repeat her. But no, okay. So, but outside of that, the massage, I think that was fun. That was well, and Chloe would have a lot more hands on her.
Well lubricated.
what did we say, Mr. Jackson? Everybody looked like first scene from Belly. Is that what we were talking about?
Yeah. Well, I can't remember her name.
I can't look it up on my phone right now because I got my show.
But yeah, everyone, it definitely looked like the opening scene from Belly.
Everybody all greased up.
Had fun at the massage, and then we had to drive back to our. And that was interesting because I was like driving backwards for half
the
ride.
A good while.
It was really tight, man. It was
honestly hard. That was impressive. I was watching, and I thought you were gonna, I thought you were gonna hit the bank. I'll just say it.
Yeah, because I was the first car out, so
yeah.
It was like no turnaround, so yeah, you had to back up the whole driveway.
Yeah, but I could have turned around earlier. I was just being lazy. I'm like, I'm not doing this shit here, and I just ended up backing up. But anyway, we made it to the other cabin safely.
Yes.
It was pretty late, and I think once we got to the cabin, we talked for a while, but then we went to bed shortly after. Mm-hmm. And then you guys went to the bathhouse. We talked about that a little bit. And then we got back to, you guys came back to the cabin. I think you guys took a nap when you got back. Yeah. Oh, actually, no, we had breakfast, and then we came back to our cabin. Mm-hmm.
And then they did take a nap, but we stayed up.
We stayed up, yeah, because I was looking for good places.
We started playing the game with the yogi couple.
Yes. So the yogi couple was the first to get up. Now, the night before, I had Couplicious. Shout out to the creators of Couplicious. They put together a very good game.
Yes, they did.
So we were playing Couplicious with the yogi couple. And then I think Mr. Jackson, you came upstairs while we were maybe a quarter of the way through the game. And I didn't have to ask the Yogi couple if this was okay. I knew they were going to be all right with it. I was like, listen, we could just start all over again.
I saw that. I was like,
and then bring y'all in.
That was totally necessary. I could have watched.
Nah.
Because then I would have understood what was happening and not figured it out as the game was ending.
That's true.
But Couplicious is a great board game, but it's one of those board games where there's a lot of build-up. Like, it starts with these sort of dares and scenarios that you have to act out. That starts with kissing and touching, and then it sort of gradually moves into some, like, clothes coming off, and yeah, it gets crazy.
It's funny how abrupt it is.
Yeah. I think that was also because we combined Couplicious with the stupid card game.
Yeah, the lifestyle card
game. The lifestyle card game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, because there are truth or dare boxes, spots that you can land on. And we were like, well, we're drinking. We're late. We're not going to like think of truth or dare. So let's just use these cards, which are basically truth or dares, right?
they were more so dares.
There's the green cards are truth.
Oh, that was the Yogi couple added.
Yeah, the Yogi couple also had a deck, and they had the like expansion pack that we didn't have. So they had these cards that had the truth, and then they had
some super hot.
Yeah, so there was like the three flame, you know, just mildly hot dares, and then the four and fives, which were like game enders, like. Penetration is happening on this card.
Yeah.
So we had to, you know, slide those to the side because we wanted to play the game.
Right.
We didn't want to end the game. We actually wanted to play the game. We didn't want it to end too prematurely. Because
it was fun. There were some things that happened during that game. What did you guys think of what did you guys think of the game?
So the game was so much fun. I think that was one of my favorite memories of the weekend. Playing the game was great.
It was the best icebreaker. I think it could have been.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Just the way it builds up and works towards kind of the, like, you learn about people and get to see it in action.
Yeah.
All at the same time. So.
Right. Yeah, and what's brilliant about it? I think what's most brilliant are like these cock block cards. I have to talk about this because the cock block cards, like, let's say somebody gets or like dare to get like a double blowjob or something, you can tell why I'm using that particular example. You could, if you have a cock block card, you could actually take the place of whoever you want to in that scenario. So Mr. Jackson, he's humbling himself a little bit right now and not expressing how how disappointed he was when I did this to him. But he was about to get a blowjob. Two girls, two lovely, sexy ass ladies. It was the three couples. It was, you know, the Yogis, us and Chloe and Mr. Jackson. And Chloe and Mr. Jackson was about to get a blowjob from Chloe and
Miss Yogi.
And she, I used that cock block card and ended up stealing that pleasure from him, and it was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my entire life.
Well, and the worst part was you weren't even paying attention. And then, like, at the very last second, like, I got my boxers halfway off, and he like, oh shit, something about to happen. Like, you didn't even know what it was at first.
Yeah, that's right. You didn't even know what the deal was. Whatever it is, I want it.
Right.
Two naked women approaching this dude and him taking his pants off. Yeah.
But
cock block.
You have to remember that you got cock blocked earlier in the game.
Yeah, I did.
And you got one taken away from you that you had wanted.
Yeah, Mr. Yogi took that away from me.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got that one.
Yeah. And then the next day he like brings it up again.
Yeah.
He did bring it up again.
I
was not
fitting it in. I don't know either, but all of a sudden he interjected into something we were talking about.
He's like,
that one time when I used the cock block card.
It we were like, wait, but what does that have to do with this? He's like, I don't know. I was just mentioning.
But yeah.
So we were, so that was a lot of fun. Yeah. So it's interesting because we were playing that game, and I think, so we were in cabin two playing that game. So cabin one, mind you, there were a bunch of couples there. And I think the Amor sort of saw what we were doing. Now, let me just preface this to say, the clothing optional cabin getaway is really what one thing you're getting guaranteed. There is a zone where you can be butt-ass naked in a cabin, relaxing with your partner. There'll be some games available for you to play. There'll be some, you know, drinks that you brought. You're free to do whatever you want. You know, you can do the bathhouse thing, but the chemistry is not guaranteed. The chemistry is that's up to you. And Mr. and Mrs. Amore, they got up and saw what we were doing, and they saw it, and I think they were like, okay, this is popping. But they needed to go to the other cabin and see what was going on there. And so we just sort of stayed, and I don't even think we were butt ass naked at that point.
I'm pretty sure I was naked.
When they got back. Oh, yes. It was hot. When they left, Mr. and Mrs. Amore, when they walked out the door, it just looked like a regular game. It looked like we were playing Truth or Dare.
Right.
By the time they got back, the lights were on, off. The only thing that was lighting us up was the fireplace, and we were butt-ass naked, and people were going down on each other. And I spoke to Miss Amore about it, and she was like, oh, I thought y'all were playing something where everybody could get involved. This is a little different. Y'all look like y'all got your own thing going on. So a whole crew of people walked in on that.
Yeah.
You know, I was titty fucking somebody at one point.
Oh, yeah, that is right. Yeah.
When they walked in.
Yeah, in front of a crew of people just
walked. Yeah.
Chloe, you were amazing at titty fucking.
Thank you.
Very good. You know exactly what to do with them titties.
I've watched enough Pornhub to know.
Yes. Yeah. Shout out to Pornhub. all right. So we played with the Swinging Yogis after that. You guys were supposed to join us downstairs, and we must have.
Listen. A little salty about that because when the other couples got there, you guys were like, all right, break, and we didn't know. So no, you started explaining to the other couple how to play the game, and then you disappeared. Meanwhile, I am still trying to explain to these couples how to play the game. I didn't know that was some kind of signal that we were all supposed to like fade into the background like gorillas in the mist. I wasn't aware that that's what was happening.
I told Jackson once the game was over, we were all going downstairs.
Okay, you said it like that, but my mind heard a question mark after it because
we are all going downstairs.
It wasn't a declarative sentence. It was it was a question. Because it was almost like you didn't hear what was going on the other side of the table and you were asking me, but I couldn't hear anyway, so.
Okay.
So when we walked away, that wasn't enough evidence.
Right.
Okay, but you guys all didn't walk away together. It was it was a trail because you were the last person explaining her how to play the game, and then you was just like, fuck it, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, exactly what you said.
And then, like, she takes over the explaining part, and then we look up and y'all gone.
Because I felt bad because you're like, yeah, fuck it, they'll figure it out.
I said the instructions are right here. They're right, I pointed out. They're very clear. I wasn't about to, like, I was like, yo, you saw what was happening. I cannot explain this game right now. I'm ready to go.
Happy odd. That wasn't even the game.
Yeah, we might have just made up a whole new game.
I mean, it was a combination of games. Oh,
I wasn't
going to
do all of that. I wasn't. Right. In hindsight, Pierce, I probably would have handled that whole situation a little differently. Before we even got done, I probably just would have been like, yo, here are some lifestyle cards.
This is a really cool game. Y'all should fuck with this. I probably would have turned the light on. I'm like, yo, listen, y'all should fuck with this. It's really simple. Everybody just picks out a card and they do their thing. Look at this card. Try that out. Boom. Y'all play this while we play this. And then it wouldn't have been that awkward.
It's hard for the brain to work that way when you titty fucking, though.
It is. Actually, yeah, you know what, Mr. Jackson? You're right. There was no way. Hindsight is 20/20. There's no way I was doing
it. And that. I was solving a math problem, so I couldn't help
it. It was solve a math problem while you're receiving head?
Yeah, while receiving a blowjob, solve a math problem. If you solve the math problem, then you get a cock block card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was a... Was it the little sand thing? A timer?
Oh, yeah, there was a timer.
So it was like a minute. Yeah. You had a minute while you were getting the blowjob.
Yeah, but the bomber didn't want to show off his math prowess right then.
And everybody was like, yo, man, what was the... I think your challenge was to figure out 18% of 60.
Yeah, $60, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, yo, it's 18% of $60, dogs. Like, figure it out. 18%, what is it? How much? Like, while he's getting hit, like, how much is it, brother? Come on.
Start throwing out numbers. I was like, you know what? Eyes and...
Miss Yogi was doing her thing.
Yeah.
All right. So one of the other things I want to talk about, well, we already have 38 minutes. One of the other things I want to talk about was the Sunday brunch. So,
And it was just the truth cards. And I kind of fished through them to find some good questions for people to ask one another. And then we just kind of went around the table, pulling out cards and talking about our sexual experiences or our sexual preferences and desires, fantasies, that sort of thing. I think one of the questions was about how you masturbate. It was like, do you use your hand? I can't remember exactly what it was, but kind of told us a little bit about the people that we hadn't gotten to talk much to because they were in the other cabin. So, mm-hmm. And it was an easy way to kind of break the ice and just to have a relaxing Sunday morning.
Yeah, it was a good way to create sexual tension for everyone that was left in the cabin.
And it was also a really great way to focus the conversation. And because I think with the group that we had at that point, I think, you know, to be able to focus the conversation and get people kind of talking about a particular subject was the way to go. So, yeah, kind of directed the flow of the conversation. Yeah, I thought it would be fun to do with the new folks that showed up since they didn't really get to play any of the game with us. And, you know, at least it was the part that we knew we could all participate in together.
Yeah, I mean, so it's interesting. While we were doing that, I realized there were some things that I had said about myself that I knew the Bell didn't know about me. Mm. You know, about some of the, so there were some questions related to what your porn preferences are. I asked a question about whether people liked looking at pictures or liked looking at video. Yeah. We were talking about when, as men, I think, when we use lube when we're masturbating versus when we go dry rub.
Yeah, that was new. That's definitely a new revelation.
But like, it made the logic of it all was just, it was like, yo, when we're in a rush, like we can't fucking be putting Vaseline on our hands and shit. you know what I mean? So that was cool. There were some other really good questions.
Well, you started like ad libbing.
Yeah, when it came to the porn questions, I had to.
Yeah,
so I was curious. I was curious because I mean, porn. I mean, sex is weird, so I like these conversations because you get to know people's quirks. Mm-hmm. You know,
me too.
Yeah.
And you know, I was the Mr. wasn't going to be upset if I share this, but I was just interested at how many times he shared that, you know, he'll masturbate to pictures of his wife. And I was like, that is the most beautiful fucking thing.
Wait, but not just pictures of his wife. He'll go through her phone and find the pictures.
Right, right. Or like, she'll be there.
Yes.
Wait, didn't he say that he would go to their profile?
Oh, yeah.
And scroll the pictures on their adult profile on one of the websites. That was the funniest part, because it wasn't just the pictures that he had in his phone. He would go to their profile and like he was looking at somebody else.
Yeah.
That was just the most awesome shit.
It was.
If there's any place that couples need to be, like when they say relationship goals,
right? Well, yep.
Fuck just marriage and having kids. Like you masturbating to your wife.
Yeah, I thought that was a beautiful thing.
What?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Hey, you know, that's real. Like, you know what? You sleeping soundly right now, but I need my nut. I'm not going to wake you up. But these.
But your phone better be on, though.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that is awesome. Okay, so we've been talking for quite a while. So there's so much to talk about when it comes to the cabin getaway, but I'm going to speed forward and get to the sticky pages of the episode.
Sticky pages.
Oh, sticky pages.
So it was the Amours, us, and Chloe, Mr. Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, you know, we were in the cabin. I mean, it was closing time. It was almost time to go.
Closing time.
Right. but then, you know, Mr. Moore, you know, he got there late. So he wasn't there for Friday night. And I think Saturday was a little bit of a frantic
mm-hmm.
Time for him. So Sunday morning, knowing that we didn't have a lot of time left, you know, he just came out at one point when we were sort of sitting around figuring out what to do. And he was like, hey, you guys all want to have a session?
And we're like,
Yeah, everybody's sort of like, you know, I'm like, I know I want to have a session. Like, he looked at me, he knew what I was about. So, yeah, I was like, yeah. And so, Mr. and Mrs. Jackson, you guys agreed to it. But, you know, how did you respond to that?
Okay, one, I feel like Mr. Moore is the only person that can say it like that and get away with it, because he was so cool with it and so chill. It didn't come across creepy. It didn't come across pushy. He was just like, so, like, you guys want to have a session? Like, he was just, I was like, that was a really nice way to say that. Thank you, sir.
It's like people sitting around a basketball court and then somebody say, so we running or what?
Right.
Like it was, yeah. So
it was very unassuming.
Because it's definitely like, I'm cool if it's not, but like I'm gonna need to know now, because otherwise I need to get beat one in with my wife before we hit this road.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I don't think the timing could have been better. If there's any time. So yeah, I mean, I think you guys spoke to each other first before you decided you were going to do it, if I'm recalling.
Yeah, we do. We did. And usually happens before all play sessions. We have a little aside.
Mm-hmm.
We're both, you know, in the right place to play and what our levels are going to be, where we're, how far we're going to go, what we're going to do, what's off limits, what's, yeah, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure that we're still on the same page.
That sounds really intense.
Yeah, it's not that intense though. It's but, just like, are we playing? Are we good? Everything still applies. All yeah. right. Yeah. Break. So go team. So.
And that's usually how you guys do things before you decide to play.
Yeah, I mean, because we've had the big discussions on our way there, or you know, the day before or something like that. Like you know what we're doing, and then we just check in. Before to make sure that, you know, we're still good and we're still on that same page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think that's really valuable for our listeners to hear. Cause you know, we talk about these sticky pages often, but we sort of leave that other part out, cause there is a lot of discussion that happens. I mean, here it sounds like it's magic and everybody's just flowing with it, but no, there's a lot of, there's some real logistical conversation happening.
Yeah. Especially in a long weekend,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, things happen, mm-hmm. right? And like, you know, like you might end up thinking, you know, like, some dude might have rubbed her the wrong way, said something that like turned her off, and now she's like, yeah, he's not fuckable anymore, and she just hadn't had a chance to tell me that yet, right? So it's,
yeah,
it's just quick check-in, just things like that, that, you know, she didn't want, I'm not saying like that happened or anything this weekend, but you know, like, I think we've had quick comments about how guys just talk their way out of pussy. And then, like, yo, she'll check in, like, he's not fuckable anymore. Move on. And that's just how it is. But, like, you know, had I not known that or had a quick check-in, I would have been proceeding, like everything's still on the up and up, so.
Right. Yeah, that check-in is definitely important. It's weird, these little nuances, because you can go to a cabin getaway and say, you know, I think I'm really into the bomber, or I'm really into the bell, and then one person could say one thing or do one thing, and that could just switch, you know. So, those conversations are really important to have. So I'm glad you brought that up. But we all seem to be on the up and up. Nobody left.
Good.
It's always an interesting experience because, you know, we got the sheets out. People are putting sheets on the bed, on the couches. That's always a weird. We're bringing out sheets on these couches because we are going to fuck. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I just, you know, outside of the lifestyle, I just. So, yeah, so we got to it. I think we started playing together. Me and the Bell started playing together. And then I went over to Chloe because her areolas have been talking to me the whole time.
They're talking to you.
So I was doing that, and then you went over to Mr. Jackson, and I think you went down on Mr. Jackson.
I did.
Mr. Jackson, how was that?
A plus. I said you gotta give the flowers while they can smell them. It was just A plus.
Thank you. I try. Mm-hmm.
Effort is most of the battle in that arena.
Yeah, the Bell is turning red a little bit. She's blue. But no, I said that because of what I'm about to say.
Oh, what is that?
Because Chloe was performing in ways that just were very good. Yeah, me and Mr. Amor were just flabbergasted.
So it's so funny that you mentioned that. Now I think I'm blushing. So when we were in the car on the way back, and this is something I just recognized about myself, which, you know, is a bit from the segment earlier, but he was like, I was really impressed that you just jumped in there and handled both those dicks like that. And he was like, you were going back and forth. I felt so proud at that moment because he was proud of me for being a complete slut. I felt like I had an S on my chest. Like, I felt like super slut at that moment because he was just like, I was so impressed. You've never been like that before. I was like, there was one dick and it needed to be serviced as well. And it, like, there was, you know, one dick free. So I felt like I needed to help both of them.
So, yeah.
My gosh, this is giving me an idea of a segment.
Super slut. Super
slut. And there was a dick that needs help. Super slut.
There was a dick that needed servicing. Like, that was one of those moments.
SS symbol.
He was in awe of, like, what I was doing, and I was in awe of the fact that he was in awe. So I was just, I had to pat myself on the back a little bit.
Definitely.
No.
I think we were all in awe.
Yeah. No, I looked at Mr. Moore, Mr. Moore looked at me. Oh my God. It was one of those times where you're like, oh, I love our lives.
Yeah, it was one of those. This is all this chocolatey people being sexy. It's great. Mm. In the light, in the big window.
Yeah. And then when Mr. Moore jumped back in, let me tell you, I wanted to make her squirt so bad. Like, I just, oh man. Yeah, it was. I had such a good view too. Like, I really got to see Mr. Amor fucking the shit out of her. That was wonderful.
Yeah, I think both you and I were just watching that.
We were just back there, just watching, like it was in HD. It was so good.
Well, that's what that's one of the things about the lifestyle, right? So it's live porn, right? And so you can
touch it. It's porn. Yes, you can touch.
It's interactive porn. Yes. Yeah, it's
right.
Live interactive porn, and so.
And that's the funny part, because they while it was happening, they're like walking around, switching sides, getting the right view, getting under it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. The best part was when I got underneath her, Mr. Amore was fucking her from the back, and I had the vibrator on her clit. And oh, that was such a beautiful sight to see. Like, it was.
I would have paid money to see her squirt on your face.
Listen, that could be.
It totally was very close to happening.
Amore's a squirter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Mr. Amore, he must have busted the hugest nut.
Oh yeah, he died on the floor.
He died. Yes.
He melted.
Out.
Mm. He just melted.
Looked like his dick exploded.
It did.
And he was just passed out on the floor for a minute. It was great.
Yeah, so that was our fun Sunday afternoon. Lucky. We were very, very happy and went home with huge smiles. I just want to also mention that, yeah, one thing I didn't mention is that the bell the night before, Saturday night, was absolutely voracious. Like, I didn't fuck anybody that Sunday morning because the bell had destroyed me. We've had some of the hottest sex we've ever had in our lives, and I'm not sure where it came from.
It was the edible!
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We had so much, like, it was weird. Like, I would fuck her, come, and there'd be no refractory period needed. We were just like, okay, just don't pull it out. I'll just say it'll get there. Just give it some time. All right, let's go.
That's amazing.
That happened like 3 times.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a lot of sex. I don't think we've ever had that much sex in one day.
No.
In one night.
Because then you left because you couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
And we're gone for like a couple hours and then came back and we fucked again. Yeah. We're like,
you go.
He went to stare out those big ass windows. Like, just standing there. Like, somebody would have walked out in the middle of the night. He's probably standing there just like, the proudest guy ever.
Just looking out the window.
Yeah.
With my arms crossed.
Right. And to gather himself because he needed a break. that was the only way he was going to get one.
The fucking on Friday night was really hot, too.
It was.
After the massage.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. We did.
Yeah.
There was a lot of parallel play, but we did.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. Which I felt like was a good way to kind of feed into getting to see people naked and having sex. Just parallel playing to kind of see what they do, what they like, what their thing is, you know?
Yep. No, definitely. And yeah, I think the only one, everyone in our cabin had parallel play.
We did. And we were all in the same space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The yogis, the swinging yogis, they were on the couch behind us.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. She was like, she didn't see anything because she was like cowgirl at all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, they were definitely into each other. And that's something I like to see.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
I think that's something I need to see.
Yeah, couples into each other.
Because if you like, you enjoy fucking your wife or girlfriend, like, that's not going to make me want to.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and I enjoyed just looking around the room, watching you all have sexy time and give Mr. Jackson a hand job, and that's my favorite thing to do is watch and play with him, so.
Which, again, we'll say for Super Slut, your hand jobs are like one of the most magical experiences that ever. Like, it's like really artistry on a dick.
It's really
love giving hand jobs. It's literally my favorite thing to do with a dick is to give a hand job. Which, and people like hand jobs, really? I was like, yes, I love just because I get to play with them and feel them and like touch the balls and just, I loved it. But what's funny enough is he taught me how to give a good hand job. It was him. Yes. So, God, about five, six years ago, I started giving him hand jobs, and he would tell me how he liked it and how to stroke it and to use two hands. And then I just started like working on techniques and, you know, with the salt shaker double twist and the I can see, we can both see everything that's going on around us too while I'm doing that, so that's nice.
That was also a really sexy dare. Like we did one of the dares was for you to give him a blowjob while he directed you. That was one of the sexiest dares, I think.
Yeah, that is a super sexy dare. Shit, I'm about to buy a pack of those cards just to have at home to play. Damn it.
That's reminding me of the dare you had to do where she had to give him a blowjob, or she had to perform a sexual act on him. It happened to be a blowjob, and you had to watch her and mimic her.
That was hot.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Actually, that was pure talent.
Yeah. Because at times I didn't even know you were looking over.
Right.
Had to have that side eye. Real good.
I was saying, or she was looking over and like not missing a beat, like know your way around a dick, because because the pattern was familiar.
Right, yes.
Thanks so much, guys, for sitting down with us and being on the show. You know, you guys are awesome. We really look forward to seeing you guys again. For our listeners at home, please do email us at blackandkinkylifestyle@gmail.com. Your questions, suggestions, stories, struggles, whatever you like, please hit us up. If you got questions for Jackson and Chloe, please send them over to us as well. Please rate, subscribe,
like,
all that stuff. You know, again, shout out to South Africa, shout out to Russia, shout out to all them countries out there that are listening to the show. There's a synergy party coming up.
Mm-hmm. Eyes wide shut.
Eyes wide shut, yes.
Which Jackson and I have never seen the movie, so we had to be educated on what that was all about.
I hear people talk about it all the time, but once again, lazy, I wasn't going to go look it up. But y'all sent me the link, so I appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah. Did you watch the link?
I did. I can click a link. I wasn't going to Google it myself, though.
No, but me and Chloe have seen it. Me and Chloe are more appreciative of film. So, yes, it's an awesome theme. We appreciate the support. And, I guess this is the Bomber and the Bell signing off. Stay sexy. Stay black.
Bye.
Bye. Black and kinky, black and kinky. Black and kinky lifestyle.